You're listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. This is the place to find the latest thoughts from Gabriel and Mike Wright, the lead pastors of Gateway Family. Here we go.
As Pastor Gabriel said, we've been in the middle of this sermon series called This Is Life. And life is in all caps, and it means living in freedom every day. And I don't know about you guys, but that sounds pretty good to me. I want to be able to live my life without constraints, without being able to be weighed down with stuff, and just to know that that God is on my side. Amen? There's a lot of things in life that that can get to us and can get us down, but God never meant for us to live life chained. He meant for us to live life in freedom. And so that's what we've been talking about over the last few weeks. And Pastor Gabriel talked about learning to live in the tree of life rather than the tree of knowledge of good and evil, because the tree of life is all about looking at things the way that God looks at things. And the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is all about trying to be better and what I can do to get God to notice me and you know, condemnation to other people because they're not as good as you are and things like that. And we talked about forgiveness, and we've talked about protecting your house on Father's Day and all this stuff, and all that is great, and it all flows into living a life of freedom. But today we're going to talk about something that kind of brings everything back, and Pastor Gabriel mentioned it earlier, and that is living a life of surrender. Now I don't know about you guys, but I personally am a big fan of video games. Just like, yeah. I guess I'm the only nerd in the house. Me and you, Will. What's up, baby? No, I love video games. And I think at some point, now be honest. If you're a video game fan, whatever kind of video game it is, let me see your hand. Everybody, just thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you. Now, I like seeing what ladies raise their hand. That's what I like seeing, because that's the true ones right there. Yeah. If my wife's back there, she's got her hand raised. She likes video games. But anyway, I'll say this. As a man, I like sports video games a lot. Like, NCAA football, one of my favorites. Madden's a great one. My wife, she's never been a big sports fan. I always told her she was more of a sports gear fan rather than the fan of the team. Like, she wants the shirts and the stickers and the keychains, but she doesn't really care anything about actually watching it, you know? So that all changed this past winter. She decided she wanted to be an NBA fan, right? At first, I was like, are there even any NBA fans in Alabama? I was like, who is an NBA fan, you know? And so anyway, she decides she wants to be an NBA fan, and we have absolutely no attachments to any one team. And so my wife decides, and yes, one of the reasons she decided was colors. She decided she wanted to be an Oklahoma City Thunder fan, okay? Which is great. I just jumped in with both feet just like she did. And so now we're all about Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook and all those guys. And so she, full force, she is all about the Oklahoma City Thunder. And so I decided that I was going to get NBA 2K14 for my PlayStation, right? And so, because she likes playing video games, I like playing video games, and so we were going to play this game together. And then I forgot that my wife is like the Rain Man of sports video games. She will kill you, and it just makes me so mad. And it makes me feel like less of a man because I can't beat my wife in sports video games. Maybe not like less of a man, but anyway. So we get this video game, and we play the playoffs. You know, you have to win 16 games to win the NBA title. I won 4 out of the entire playoffs. She beat the tar out of me. There was one day I came home from work a few years back. We were playing NCAA football at one point. I was in a league with some of the guys here at the church, and yeah, everybody's laughing because I just got waxed. I mean, just all the time. It was bad. But I came home, and she she likes to play, and so I said, hey, why don't you play this game with me? Just so I got somebody else, I'm not just playing against the computer while I'm practicing for the league, right? Well, I start watching, and she's like, moving her linebackers on deep, like deep moves, like inside the game. Like, you got to know what you're doing. I said, did you just move your linebackers? She was like, yes, I did. I lost again. A lot. Hard. But I keep going because I hate losing. I hate admitting that she's better than me at those stupid video games. I hate it. It doesn't matter if it's Mario or if it's NBA. She's going to beat me. And it makes me so mad because I hate to admit that she's better than me at something I feel like I should be better at. Okay? I'm not bitter at all. Okay? But you know what? We're all kind of like that in life, right? Like, it's hard for any of us to admit when someone's better than we are at something. It's hard for any of us to take this the thought that anybody is better than we are and digest that. Because nobody wants to think that somebody can do something better than them. You know, I tell people all the time, the easiest person to lie to is yourself. Because we all want to think that we're better than what we are. We all want to think we're the best person that's out there. Well, let me tell you something right now, baby, you're not. There's always somebody better at something than what you are. But it's very hard. It's ingrained in us to never give up, to not quit, to not surrender at anything. And when we hear the word surrender, a lot of times we have this thought that goes through our head of waving the white flag, of a battle with generals laying swords down and all this kind of stuff, of giving up. And in our culture, giving up, quote unquote, is a bad word. Like, that's a phrase that we should never do. You never give up. You never quit. We preach sermons on it. We have motivational speeches on it at your high schools and junior highs. And we talk about all the time, like, you don't quit. You know, when you fall and you get up and all this stuff. And at the end of the day, that's absolutely correct. Except for when it comes to your Christian walk. Because if you don't learn to give up control, you're never going to get the fulfillment of your life that you're meant to have. See, it's hard to surrender as a person. It's hard to surrender as a human being. But that's what we're all called to do. See, when it comes to Christian life, surrender isn't always bad. It's what God wants and what He requires from every single one of us. See, but before we lay that groundwork, we've got to understand what God is asking of us. You need to understand who God is, what He's doing with your life. Do you realize that God created you with a purpose? And we use these couple of verses a lot. Jeremiah 1:5, He tells Jeremiah, which was a prophet in the Old Testament, Jeremiah is a little nervous about what God's telling him to do, and he says, Jeremiah, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. I set you apart as a prophet to the nations. Now what can we get out of that? Not, I know he's talking to Jeremiah, but what we can get out of that is that before you are ever even thought of, God knew you. And he's got a purpose for your life. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, plans for a future and a hope and all this stuff. God wants good for you. Now let me read Psalm 139. I think it's going to be on the screen, but I want you to hear this. Psalm 139, starting at verse 13. We're going to read just a few verses here. This is David. He's talking to God, and he says, you made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They can't be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of the sand. And when I wake up, you're still with me. Let's pray. God, I just pray that you would just add your blessing to the reading of your word today, God, and that you would just minister to every heart in this room. God, we thank you for it. It's in your name we pray. Amen. God created you with a purpose. I need you to hear this before we go any further. Get this. God does not create accidents. God does not create mistakes. God doesn't look at someone and go, oops, my bad. Now I got to figure something out for this one. I don't understand how this happened. That's not God. Do you read what David wrote about God? You formed me. You created me. You put all this work. The Bible calls us God's masterpiece. It says, how marvelous is the creation of your hands. And so here's the question that we have to pose. If God put that much work into each and every one of you, do you really think that he doesn't have a purpose laid out that he wants to see you accomplish with your life? You don't create something and then just go, oh, that was really good. Next. You don't do that. If you put work, you put effort, you put passion into something, then you want to see it get the best that it can. And that's exactly what God does with each and every one of us. He created you with a purpose. He spent time on you. You need to understand, as I said, accidents are not part of God's vocabulary. It doesn't matter how you got here. It doesn't matter if you're the product of a love of a mother and father, and it doesn't matter if you're a product of rape or incest. You are not an accident. God knew where you were when you were born, when you were conceived, before you were conceived. And I love the verse that says, every day was laid out before a single hour of my life had passed. Now the question is, if he's got every day laid out, if he's got the plan for your life laid out, are you ready to surrender to that plan? Because if he's already got it ready to go, all you've got to do is say, yes, God, here I am. Show me what to do. Show me what to do. Do you understand that God wants you to be happier than you want you to be? Do you understand God wants you to be more fulfilled than you want to be? God wants your life to count more than you want your life to count. I think we have this thing in our society that we think that letting go of control and giving God total surrender of our lives means that he's going to make us do something we don't want to do and go somewhere we don't want to go. That's not my God. Amen. God is not about forcing you to do things that is not your passion. God is about helping you find your passion and become the best person you can be. Do you understand? He is the author of your life, not you. You're the character in the story. The question is, what are you going to do with the chapter you've been given? The characters don't talk back to the author. The characters do what the author says. He wants you to be happier than you want you to be. And all that only comes from complete and total surrender to him. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he'll make your path straight. See, he wants three things from you. He wants your things. He wants your relationships. At the end of the day, he wants yourself. He wants your things, your relationships, and yourself. See, we have this thing, Luke 14, 33, this little scripture passage right here from about 26 to 33 in Luke 14, there's this big crowd that's following Jesus, and Jesus says, he just turns around to him and he says, look, if you want to be my disciple, these are the things you're going to have to do. And 33 says, you cannot become my disciple without giving up everything you own. Everything you own. So does that mean, Pastor Shane, that I'm going to have to, like, you know, sell my TV and I'm going to have to, you know, sell my car and I can't have a bed and I can't, you know, all this stuff? No. That's not what it means. What it means is, are you willing to if he asks you to? Because, see, the chances are that you're not going to get asked to give away everything you own. But the question is, what if he did? Would you be willing to? Because it's a heart issue. It's a heart issue. There's a guy named Robert Morris. He's a pastor here in the States. And he has this thing. God taught him about generosity. He talks about the blessed life all the time. And it's not about just getting richer and getting more and all this stuff. It's all about being generous and giving things away and understanding, being so in tune with the Spirit of God that you're able to give whenever he says to give. And when you give, God gives back in abundance. But it's not so you can have more stuff. It's so you can give more and be more generous. And Robert Morris says that three times in his life, God has asked him to give everything he owned away. Everything. Everything. Wrap your mind around that for a second. House, cars, bank accounts, everything. And he did. Every time. And every time, God gave back in abundance, over and above what he gave away. There was one time that he gave away, I think he gave away a car or something, or a couple of cars or a couple of vans or something like that. And he said he was sitting in his office and he thought, all right, God, top that. I just gave away like four things or whatever. And he said he got a phone call in the middle of the thought he was having. And it was a guy that was donating to him a plane, a pilot, and all the jet fuel he could ever use. And he said it was like God going, I'm up. What you got, big boy? At the end of the day, it's not a question of will you have to give it away. It's a question of what would you do if he asked you to. That's surrender. Because see, idols, we have this thought that idols are these little statues that sit in people's houses with like incense and candles around them that, you know, people like bow down to and stuff. Well, yeah, obviously that can be an idol, but there can be other things that are idols. Idols are anything that take the place of where God should be in your life. And I know you know that, but idols can be things as simple as fitness, as Facebook, as food, as TV, as video games, as sports. Anything that takes the place of where God should be in your life can be an idol. And he wants you to put those things in the proper place. Another thing that he needs you to surrender is your relationships, both good and bad. No relationship can take the place of where God should be in your life. You can't put, fellas, you can't put your wife number one. God has got to be number one. As much as you love her, you can't place her above God. If you're not in tune with God, nothing else will work. That relationship has to be number one. If you can't figure out why your marriage is falling apart or why things aren't quite right, check your relationship with God first and foremost. Because chances are you've gotten that relationship in a place where it's not supposed to be. Fix that first. He wants your relationships, and that's found in Luke 14:26. He says, if you want to be my disciples, you must hate everyone else by comparison, your father, your mother, wife, children, brothers, and sisters. And then lastly, you want yourself. It says, yes, even your own life. Otherwise, you can't be my disciple. And if you don't carry your cross and follow me, you can't be my disciple. It has to be about him, not about us. Now, I want you to hear this. Surrender is often associated with defeat. But when it comes to a life with Christ, the act of surrendering is actually the beginning of freedom. He allows you to live a life fulfilled and happy when we let him guide and we take our hands off. So the question is, what are the steps to living in freedom every day? To surrendering your life to him. If we want to be happy, if we want to be fulfilled, what are the steps? How do we walk that out? The first thing is this. You've got to get to know him. Think about this for a second. I've got three kids. For those of you that might not know me, I've got three kids. I've got a 12-year-old, a 9-year-old, and a 6-year-old. And, you know, sometimes my wife and I, we like to go on a date here and there. We like to go out, do our thing, whatever. And we like to go out without children. How many of you guys like the nights without children sometimes, right? I mean, I love my kids, but there's times that you need nights without children. Man, I really thought I'd get more amens on that one. Some of you guys don't understand, or some of you guys are too old. You're past that point where you've got kids at home, or you haven't gotten there yet. But let me tell you. Think real hard about back in the day when you had little kids. Or those of you that haven't gotten there yet, your time's coming. Your time's coming. But I've got three kids. Sometimes we like to go out, you know, get away from the kids for a little while. But, you know, so we've got to get a babysitter, right? I'm not going to go find just some guy on the side of the road and say, hey, man, come watch my kids for me for a couple of hours. What's your name? You know, I'm not going to do that. I've got people in my life that my wife and I trust that we have a relationship with because we know their character, that if we need a babysitter, they can come to our house, we'll pay them some money, and they'll watch our kids, and we'll come home and they'll still be there, right? Or like alive, hopefully. For you to be able to surrender something to someone, you have to be able to trust someone. For you to be able to trust someone, you have to know that someone's character. The only way to know the character of someone is to spend time with that person. Does everybody follow the logic? If you want to surrender your life to Christ, if you say, man, I just don't know if I can yet, you need to get to know the character of the one that you're trying to surrender to. Because when you know his character, you can trust him, and surrender becomes easier. Gabriel and I, Pastor Gabriel and I, in October, it'll be 5 years that I've been working with him in some capacity on staff with him as a pastor, both here at Gateway and at a church we were at before this. And Gabriel and I, we're not just, he's not just my boss or my pastor. We're friends. We're close friends. We spend a lot of time together. We work out together just about every day. We watch sports together. Our families hang out together. My kids and his kids are like best friends. And so we hang out all the time. And because of that, I trust that man. Because I know his character. Not just in the office. But I know his character with his wife. I know his character with his kids. I know his character with his friendship relationships. I know his character in every aspect. And on the flip side, he has gotten to know my character. And so therefore, on staff, when we're talking about church stuff, we're able to trust each other a lot more because we know who we really are. Because we've spent time together. Now you need to understand, for you to know God's character, it's not enough just to read in a book every now and then. It's not enough to come in on a Sunday morning and hear somebody talk about who God is. You got to really get to know him. Get creative. Listen to some worship music in your car. Pray while you're riding down the road. Get up in the morning. Talk to him like he's standing next to you. Go to a small group. Because people that know his character can help you bridge the gap to character traits of God that you never knew existed. So if you want to surrender, you got to learn to trust him. James 4:8 says, come close to God, and God will come close to you. So the second thing you got to know is that he's God. So the first thing is trust him. The second thing, if you want to learn to surrender, remember, he's God. Okay? I don't think you're really grasping what I'm saying here. You're not trying to surrender to a person. You're not surrendering your life to a pastor or to a man or a woman or anybody. You're surrendering to like God. Like he created everything. Like you wouldn't be here if it weren't for him. Like the ground that this building is built on wouldn't be here if it wasn't for him. This is the God that speaks and things are brought into existence. This is the same God that changes everything when he walks in the door. This is the same God that spoke the world into existence. This is the same God that thinks about you every single day. This is the same God that numbers the hairs on your head. This is the same God that laid out a plan for your life before you were ever born. Remember, he's God. We just sang this song called No Sacrifice, and it's taken out of Isaiah 55:9. It says, for just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. He knows better than we do what we need. Have you ever, again, you know, think about my kids. Do you remember, like, how many times when you were growing up did you have to do something that your parents told you to do when you didn't understand it? How many times did your mom or dad tell you, no, you're not doing that, and you would get mad and storm off or whatever you're doing or yell back or whatever, and they would, oh my, I hated this. And then they would always give you this, because my name's Dad, and I said so. And I'm just like, that doesn't mean anything. Like, you're not answering me. I do it to my kids all the time. But I remember when I was growing up, my wife and I, wave to everybody, baby. My wife's in the back. Hey, everybody. Okay. I guess you guys are looking this way. You can't see her from back there. But anyway, when we were growing up, we actually met when we were 12 and 13. So we've known each other a long time. And my parents, when we were in our teenage years, they would never, ever, ever let us be alone, like by ourselves with nobody else in the house when we were dating. And that would make me so mad. I would just be like, can we not just come and watch a movie or something? Like, I know y'all are gone on some church thing. Can we not just? And they would never, ever let us do that. To the point that I was 20 or 19 or 20, and when I asked her to marry me, my dad would not let us be in the house by ourselves when I asked her to marry me, okay? And like, it was awesome, y'all. I set up this blanket on our living room, and we had all these plants in the house, so I set all these plants around the blanket, and I lit a fire in the fireplace, and I did like this indoor picnic. It was amazing. I mean, it was rocking. I grilled steaks and potatoes and all this stuff, and we ate on the floor, which was kind of stupid because it's like, you know, this, but it was cool in my head. And so I asked her to marry me, and this whole time, my dad is in the back in his bedroom with the door closed, watching the Braves game because he wouldn't leave. And I was like, Dad, come on. I just want to be here just tonight, please. And he wouldn't do it. So I asked Keisha to marry me. Of course, she said yes. Duh. And so the first thing we do, you know, what's the first thing you think you're going to do? You know, my dad's 40 steps down the hall and go tell Dad, right? No. We decided, hey, it's Christmas time. Let's go look at Christmas lights. Woohoo! So we jump in the car and go right around Montgomery for 2 hours looking at Christmas lights. And then we thought, we never told Dad we were leaving. So we turned around, flew back home, and I was thinking, of course, I mean, it's been like 2 hours. Of course, he's you know, come and checked on us or something. Man, I walked in the house. Everything was just like we left it. Door still closed. Knock on the door. He's like, you guys finished? I was like, yeah, Dad. Yeah, well, thank you for not coming out of your room because we've been here the whole time. You appreciate that. That was very funny. Anyway, but I appreciate that so much now. And I tell every parent that I talk to about that because even though I didn't get it, I understand now because he wasn't letting me or Keisha be put in a situation where it could cause us problems as a couple. The thought was, if I don't give you the opportunity to do anything stupid, then it's less likely that you're going to do something stupid. And so therefore, I may not have gotten it then, but I had to learn to trust him because he was my dad and he knows things that I didn't. He understood things that I didn't. It's the same way with God. There's going to be times that God says, look, this is the way it has to be right now. And sometimes those things are going to stink at that moment. But in the future, you start to understand God had a plan this whole time. See, we see the here and now. God sees eternity. He sees what he's laid out from before you were ever born. We see now. And sometimes the now hurts us when we can't trust. So we've got to learn to get to know him. We've got to remember that he is God. And the last thing is this, and we're winding down to a close here. My daughter, Karis, she's 6, and she is obsessed with this new movie that's come out here the last year called Frozen. Everybody knows Frozen. It's so funny when I say that word, I say that in the context of that movie. Like, you guys can't see yourselves, but I do. And it's like everybody kind of goes, like, I don't know if I'm supposed to admit that I like this movie. Like, there's grown men that, like, will belt these songs out. But like the main song, the one that won the Academy Award, everybody knows it, is what? Let It Go. Yeah, right. No. Terry, Terry Bear, me and you. I told Terry I was going to call him Terry Bear from up here one day, and he didn't believe me. Anyway, so if you're going to surrender, at the end of the day, the last thing you've got to do is learn to let it go. And I know, you know, that whole movie, if you've seen it or not, it doesn't matter. But the whole thought process behind that song is this one princess has been held back for so long because she's scared of who she really is. And she comes to this point that she says, I've just got to let it go. And at the end of the day, that's what we have to do, is remember, we're made to be who we are. We've got to let go control of us and give it to God. Because if we can't let go of who we are, if we can't let go of control, God can't take control. If we can't lay down ourselves, God can't pick it up. Think about it like this. You have a friend. Your friend comes up to you and he says, bro, I've got the best trip planned for you. We're going to go hang out. It's going to be me and you for a week. I've got the coolest place for you to go. I know where we're going. I've got everything laid out. I've got my GPS. I've got everything ready. We are ready to go. I've talked to your boss. You've got the week off. I've talked to your wife and your kids. They know they're good with it. And we're leaving Monday morning. And you say, where are we going? And he goes, I'm not telling you. You just got to get in the passenger seat. Because I've got the map. I've got the tickets. I know where the destination is. I know how to operate this vehicle. You just got to get in the passenger seat and trust me. Well, yeah, but I've got this vacation planned. And you know, we're going to go to Six Flags. And then we're going to go to this and that. Bro, this is going to blow Six Flags out of the water. But you've got to trust me. It's hard to trust in that situation. Because you want to know, I want to know how much farther it is until we get there. Like, I want to know how long I'm going to be in the car. I want to know what kind of clothes to pack. I want to know what we're going to do when we get there. I want to know where we're going to be, and I want to know, and I want to know, and I want to know. But at the end of the day, that's not how it works. It's not how it works. That's how God is. He says, I've got something for you so much better than anything you could plan for yourself. But it's going to take you surrendering every bit of who you are to me for you to get it. And if you're not willing to do that, then you can have your little mini vacation. You can have your little bit of happiness. You can have your little bit of fulfillment. And you may think that your life is great, but you'll never know how great it could have been if you would have just gotten in the car and let me drive. Because God has some amazing things planned for you, each and every one of you. Now we're going to close with this. This is the last thing I'm going to say. Everything, and I think I've actually got this on the bottom of your notes. Everything you decide not to turn over becomes your responsibility to maintain. Now think about that for a second. Everything you decide not to give to God becomes your responsibility to maintain. And I don't know about you, but I'm bad at maintenance. Like, I don't want more on my plate. I've got enough I've got to take care of. Anything I can let God have, I'm going to. You want to keep your marriage and not give that to God? Then you're going to have to make your marriage work. But man, if you'll just let God work in your marriage is going to be so much better. You want to keep your professional life and maintain that? That's great. But it's going to be really, really difficult. Whereas if you say, God, here, this is who I am. You lead me. You guide me. You open the doors. You tell me where to walk. You tell me where not to walk. It's going to blow your mind what it'll do. Jesus Christ wants to know you more than you want to know him. All he wants is to be able to give you the happiness and the fulfillment that you want in your life and that he wants for you in your life. And it all comes from living a life of surrender to him.
Thanks for listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. For more information about Gateway, visit www.gatewayfamily.cc.